At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley. I'll be joined tonight by Kedrick Prince and Brad Sturdy as we talk about the Illini's 87-84 overtime victory over a very tough Nebraska Cornhuskers team. We'll be right back with Ked after these messages.
Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, or on the other side of the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. Be it in-game results, top-level stories, or the latest behind-the-scenes info in recruiting, IlliniGuys.com has you covered. For about 25 cents a day, you can have an inside path to your favorite Illini teams. And we'll even throw in a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button, and get immediate access to dozens of stories each month, message forums, free giveaways, and more. IlliniGuys.com.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pills deliver the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now.
Paid for by Steel Man Pills. 800-218-4958. 800-218-4958. 800-218-4958. That's 800-218-4958.
And as promised, this is Mike Kegley back here with Kedrick Prince as we're talking a little bit about the Illini win 87-84 over Nebraska in overtime. 10-point lead with under 2 minutes was turned into a tie with an 11-1 run. And the Illini just had their offense run stagnant. We've seen that multiple times this season. But boy, it was bad timing for that. And I almost think the player of the game, you know, or at least the statistic of the game, is Illinois out-rebounded the Cornhuskers 50-33. And that was the key to the win. And of those 50, 17 were offensive rebounds, with Ty Rogers leading the way with 5, Luke Goody with 3, Dane had a couple, Coleman had a couple, Domask had a couple. So there were some key rebounds that really helped make up for the fact that the Illini shot a putrid 26.5 from the 3, 9-34, and shot a disappointing 20-30 from the free throw line at 66.7%. So it was a tough game, as opposed to Nebraska only got 14 free throws and they made every single one of them. It was quite lucky that a few more fouls didn't go against the Illini, or this game might have resulted in a defeat. Ked, you were there up close and personal. My big concern on our podcast, our preview podcast, was don't let Tominaga get a nice start and let that team build its confidence. Any thoughts in what you saw?
I told everybody at Press Row who will listen to me and during our pregame meal, he was going to be the guy that was going to torch Illinois. Why I said that was because he played really bad against Wisconsin the other day. There's no way that kid was not going to come out here and play well today. Illinois played great defense. That kid made some unbelievable shots. I mean, there were shots where I know Terrence was running all over in his face. This kid, tip your hat to him. I mean, he made good shots. That game was, it was stressful. It was great. Illinois gets a run. You think the game's over. You know, you're right. The offense became very, very stagnant. I will give Brad Underwood credit. I don't know what lit a fire underneath him. I don't know if it was the official. And I'm going to tell you guys, I was mild when I put on my tweet what Brad Underwood was saying to him. I've never, in the 7 years Brad Underwood's been here, I think if he could have got a hold of that official, that guy wouldn't be going to work for a couple of days because he said something to Brad, and I don't know. Terrence, he thought Terrence got fired. He didn't say anything. And the official is new. He's young. And I'm going to tell you, Mike, and I'm all over the place, and I apologize. Usually when we're sitting there, you've been there at Press Row, the Orange Crush can be tough. I've never seen an official turn around and acknowledge the Orange Crush. Because when he called that technical foul on Brad, the Orange Crush let him have it. This guy turns around and smiles and winks at the Orange Crush. And I think one of the officials says something to him. You can tell he's young. The Big Ten needs new officials, but he wasn't off to a good start. But I'll end it with this. They got to win. And that's the ultimate goal at this stage because you got to keep up. Purdue is going to distance themselves pretty soon here because I think the only team that can give them a chance is Illinois and Wisconsin, and they beat Wisconsin today and Wisconsin. So never apologize for a win, but Ty Rogers and Coleman Hawkins, to me, I'm having a hard time deciding who was the MVP.
Yeah, Rogers did some yeoman's work on the boards with that, you know, 8-14. And of course, the two free throws could have made a huge difference, but that seems to be an Illini issue across the whole team with the exception of Mr. Harmon, who went 4-for-4. And I guess Coleman went 2-for-2 as well.
Yeah, you know, and you know, that's uncharacteristic of this team. They've been really, they've been solid. They've made their free throws, and the one that Marcus missed to end the game, I think, in regulation was tough. But, you know, you got to tip your hat to the kids that they fought. I think if this was a last year's team, I think this is a loss, without a doubt. They stepped up. It was good to see Quincy kind of step up. I mean, he missed free throws. I think he missed 3 or 4, Mike, at least. I 2 for sure. But those are – when you can out-rebound a team, you have to do something. If your shots aren't falling, you have to do something. And I know people are not going to like this, but I think Terrence played such hard, aggressive defense. I just don't think he had much with his legs because I'm going to tell you, I don't know what the TV showed, but I'm going to tell you, he was chasing – that kid around, like if he was going back home, wherever he's from, Terrence was following him. That takes a lot. And I know Terrence was, he was winded. He has to come out once, and so did Coleman Hawkins.
Yep. Yep. I agree. But, you know, in the end, I guess, you know, you look at this and I don't really give a, you know what, about style points. I've been an Illini fan way too long. I've seen way too many issues, you know, from George Montgomery at the free throw line back in the 80s, you know, you know, playing guys like Pace Mannion and names I've never heard of, Finnis Dembo in the NCAA tournaments and losing. So to me, if it's a 1-point win, if it's a 3-point win, I don't care. Because
exactly,
it's the W that counts. And the other thing I wanted to say, I posted it during the game, and I did it in our pregame pod talking with Caleb Henry of KLIN, which is the flagship station for the Nebraska Cornhuskers Network. Whether we like it or not, there's a team being built out there in Nebraska, and we've seen what Hoiberg did at Iowa State. Then he went into a drug stupor and decided to be the second Iowa State coach to go sacrifice his career with the Bulls. And he ended up in the same place. But now that he's back at the college level, I'm telling you, Nebraska has the fan base that will show up for any game. They have the money because those people want to win, and they don't have anything else in Nebraska. They don't have the Bears. They don't have the Cubs. They don't have the Blackhawks. So they have to adopt teams, you know. So whereas, you know, other Big Ten teams like Illinois, you know, you compete with Chicago and you compete with, you know, with other Big Ten teams as they move into Chicago. I think that fan base is hungry for a winner. And when he starts recruiting better players, he's clearly a good coach. I think Nebraska is going to be a team to be dealt with, and they're not going to be a walkover anymore.
No, they're not. And Mike, I'm going to tell you, they're like Iowa, because it's the same thing. There's nothing in that state. There's no professional teams in that state. So that's why you see Iowa fans, when you go to a football game, they could be 1-11 or whatever, and there's going to be 70,000 show up because there's nothing to do. I've said for a long time, because where I live, you know, I get a lot of Iowa State coverage, and I know how good Fred Hoiberg is. And you know what? He's going to win. He runs good action. He went out. He did the same thing Brett Underwood did. He did the same thing. The only difference, I think, is, I mean, Illinois has a few better athletes, but it's the same situation. If you take a step back and look at this, when people want to get mad and they want to nitpick the game because they didn't win by 30 points or they didn't cover the spread, this team beat the first-place team, second-best team in the country, and they beat Wisconsin at the time when they were ranked sixth in the country. I don't care if it's at home. It takes talent to do that, and it wasn't a fluke. They're going to be a tough out. I know they're going to get in the tournament, but there's no way they're not. Truthfully, in my opinion, they are arguably the tie for the fourth best team in the conference next to Northwestern, which is another team that's not going to be an easy out. Fans aren't used to hearing Northwestern and Wisconsin be at the upper half of the Big Ten, because traditionally it's been, you know, you'll hear Indiana, or you'll hear Michigan and Michigan State. So kudos to Fred Hoiberg. He's a great guy. He is the one coach, I have to admit, I don't mind sitting next to a press row, because he doesn't cuss. He doesn't belligerate the officials. He doesn't cry every time down the court. I'm a big fan of his. I mean, he's a classy guy. Nebraska fans are really lucky. I think he's going to be there a while. I don't want to say he saved his job, because they haven't done well, but he saved his job, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I just see Hoiberg. Like I said, he needed to get the ship righted. Tim Miles was on the verge, couldn't get there. But I think Hoiberg is going to break through this year. And again, he's good enough with the transfer portal that he'll keep that team with some old guys at the top. And then it'll come down to, you know, does he become a transfer school like Iowa State? Or does he find a way to blend it and you get some good young, you know, homegrowns along with the transfers? And I will tell you, again, if it goes to NIL funds, Nebraska is extremely well-funded, and those fans are willing to rock and roll. So if this gets started, it could be interesting. They got a beautiful stadium down there, too. So, I mean, it's –
Yeah, they do.
I mean
– Mike, and I'll tell you, the transfer, you're right. That's what he did at Iowa State, junior college and transfer kids. That's what he's going to do. They're going to be a mainstay, and if you watch the game, Mike, they run really good stuff. They run good sets. I think the only mistake he made, personally, he took his best player out when it was crunch time. I would have let him ride. Illinois might have got beat, but, you know, maybe there was a reason for it. I don't know, but I like him as a coach. And like you said, you never apologize for a win, especially this late in the season.
No, I'm totally with you. And I certainly think the Illini can take some of what Nebraska did, just from the standpoint of, you know, they were shooting better from the three, and Illinois did miss a lot of what I felt were pretty good looks. I didn't think Illinois had a lot of dumb threes tonight. I thought the majority were open looks, and I thought they could have even taken a few more, to be truthful with you, because guys passed up on stuff, and maybe that's the lack of confidence that affected that shooting percentage. Because when you start passing up good ones, that kind of tells you, when it comes off your hand, you're not that excited. But I think the other thing that Nebraska does well is again, they make you pay for every time you put them at the line. And I think Illinois got the better the better side of the officiating tonight. I thought there were bad calls both ways, but I think Illinois got the benefit being the home team, being the higher ranked team. And, you know, if this game had been at Nebraska, I'm not certain Illinois comes out with a win, but hey, we don't have to worry about that because it wasn't.
And I'll tell you what, Mike, they don't go to Nebraska, and that's probably a blessing. Yes. Because that place is tough. Anybody else that's going to walk in that gym, you're going to earn that victory, because I don't see them losing at home. And home court didn't make a difference today. The officiating to me, there was no problem, at least from my standpoint. And everybody knows I cry and whine about officials more than anybody because I'm not a fan. But that's a story for a different podcast. My thing right now, to be honest with you, is – they didn't shoot it well, but they did get open looks. They didn't force anything. A lot of people are going to focus on that. I mean, there were shots that Luke Goody typically makes. There were shots that Justin Harmon makes. You know, they just didn't fall tonight. And even Terrence, some of his roll didn't roll out. It wasn't pretty. It was exciting, you know, for the fans to watch. But when you go back and look at the season totals, you're not going to look and say, hey, oh my gosh, I can't believe this win, you know, they won and they only won by 3 points or whatever. It doesn't work that way. Because when the polls come out this week, the way some of the top 15 teams lost, Illinois should move up. And they'll get a break before they play Michigan State to get some things right.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what I thought was really interesting tonight, and, you know, for kids who are playing basketball still, you know, is Luke Goody was 0 for 6, could not get a shot to fall. Somehow ended up with 8 rebounds, though. That was just hustle and determination, and he wants to contribute to the win. Justin Harmon, 0 for 5 tonight. But when he got the ball at the free throw line, went 4 for 4, also had a couple boards and 3 assists. And I think that drive and that ability to go ahead and contribute to a team's victory – you know, just because you're not shooting well doesn't mean that the game's over. And as much as, you know, I used to tell the kids who wanted to be 3-point specialists on my team, I'm like, you know, you got about 3 shots and a half, and then I'm taking you out, at least in the first half. And then in the second half, if you're 0 for 3, I'm probably going to give you 1. So you could go 0 for 4 and not see much the rest of the game, but those guys did other things that kept them on the floor, and that's an important lesson for a basketball team.
That's a veteran team, Mike, and you're right, because shots weren't falling, and they did. I mean, they rebounded. And I want to talk a little bit about Ty Rogers. I don't know what the TV angle looked like, but that kid can flat out leap. He was going over guys. Coleman Hawkins is a legitimate 6'10". I mean, Ty was going getting rebounds. This is why he's playing. I mean, people really want to know his activity. And I saw your tweet. I think in the first, like, 10 minutes of the game, he had 7 rebounds. That is huge. And I heard Fred Hoiberg mention the fact how aggressive they are rebounding and stuff. And those are little things that I'm telling you that makes Illinois tough, that, you know, when things aren't going well, like we mentioned, that's going to keep you in games. You have to find little things. Because your shot is not always going to fall. It's just not. And if you can't, you darn well better get to the rim.
Yeah, I know. I totally am with you. And as you recall, you know, Brad Sturdy talked about doing some pick action on the backside and looking for the backside guy on the offense. And Illinois had multiple times where they got dunks and easy layups on the backside. I think that's something that they, when they move the ball well, it goes well. And I swear to God, when I see it, there was one particular time in the second half, late in the game, Domask just literally dribbled the ball around and he had a couple guys open. And when it just was one guy dribbling and 4 guys watching, that's when Illinois gets into trouble. And I know sometimes it works because Domask will dribble, you know, down the lane and get somebody wide open. But boy, when you see the other guys stop moving, Illinois needs to have like a red alert, because if one guy's got the ball and everybody's moving, you can get hit and you can get open and you can find a way or cause the defense to move that'll allow your guy to get to the early guy with the ball to get to the basket. But man, if it's 4 guys, you know, eating popcorn in the first row of a theater, watching the 5th guy dribble, that's not good. And Illinois got into that last 2.5 minutes of the game. Somehow they've got to find a way to avoid that.
They do it. And you can sometimes you'll hear Brad Underwood or you'll see him make motion for them to move the ball, you know, because the ball sticks. But they want the ball in Marcus's hands because 8 times out of 10, he typically makes the right play, whether it be for himself or someone else. I just, you know, I guess I'm not going to, me personally, lose focus for one game. I mean, I think they play well. They're having a great year. The little things that you got to clean up, and people think, man, you know, why is this team still making these same mistakes? Well, teams are well coached. I'll tell you what, Fred Hoiberg did something tonight I've not seen any team do to Illinois. Typically, when Marcus Domask is going to the basket, there'll be another guy that's going to run at him. Fred had a guy, his center, hang in the middle of the free throw line. If you go back and people get to watch the game, it was tough for him to get to the rim. Second half, Underwood made some adjustments, and he was able to get further out, but they were not going to give him those easy putbacks or those easy baskets that he's had for most of the year. That guy basically was doing what teams do to Ty Rogers. They weren't guarding, and they let somebody open. They left somebody open, and they wanted somebody other than Marcus Domask to beat them.
Yep, totally agree. And I think Illinois got a little bit fortunate because Bryce Williams didn't have one of his better games. He usually, you know, brings a little bit more than 3 for 12. And I also think, you know, CJ Wilcher, who's had some better games, didn't do it. But boy, Tominaga made up for that by going just absolutely crazy. So I think, like I said, it was an interesting game. Tell me a little bit what visitors were in the house.
Well, there was two guys that I was lucky enough to get to talk to, two younger guys that there were Chester Fraser is recruiting. One is Jamarion Bateman, a 2025 kid. Another one is Stephen Reynolds, a 2026 kid. I can't believe we're already looking at kids, Mike, in 2025 and 26. And I had a chance to talk to both guys and to get their perspective on, you know, the pregame and what they did yesterday, because they were there yesterday to watch shoot around and work out. It's kind of unique. One of the questions I asked, and I'm not going to spill all the beans because I want people to come to our site and read the information, but one of the things that I asked was the way Illinois treats pregame and the way they work out is different from a lot of schools, you know. So like Marion had visited a number of schools, and what Illinois does pregame and, you know, the way they talk and what they're teaching and what they're working on, it's a lot different than what they do at Purdue and Notre Dame, I'll tell you that.
Yep. And I think the interesting thing is you go to IlliniGuys.com. Of course, Ked's going to – we have his stories throughout the week because he's constantly burning up cell phone minutes on the phone with different recruits. So you'll see a whole ton of people both on the football and basketball side that Ked talks with, and you get an idea of what they're looking at. Now, what Ked does is he does not edit what they say. So he just gives you what they're telling him. And then you can kind of put that and try to figure out, you know, how the Illini are doing compared to other teams. Because we do know that some kids are very calculating when they talk to the press. They know what team you're covering, and they try to spin everything towards it. So Ked's one that just asks the questions and then gives you their responses and you know, gives you at least an idea of what they're saying without a filter on it.
Mike, I want to add one more. I totally forgot, and I apologize to interrupt you. Jeremy Fierce Sr. was there today. He was taking in the game, and after the game I had a conversation with him. And, you know, we shook hands and, you know, we did our love thing and gave each other a hug. And he whispered in my ear, I cannot wait for my son to put on an orange uniform to perform in front of these fans. The fans of Illinois, they are huge. I mean, I don't know if they really realize how important they are, because that's important to some people. As for Fears, it's really important. He is really excited. He was texting his son during the game, asking him to watch and, you know, and not the game, just the environment and the atmosphere. So I want to let the fans know that Pops was there tonight as well.
Oh, good. That's good to hear. Yeah. So any other thoughts on the game before we kind of wait for Mr. Sturdy to jump on board?
Yeah, just, you know, and like I said, I know people are a little bit probably frustrated because they thought this was going to be a blowout. I didn't, and I'm not saying that. I mean, you can ask people who were sitting with me at Press Row, like I said. I knew this was going to be a tough game. Fred, when the game was over, when they beat Wisconsin, one of the things he said was, we're not going to come out flat. We're going to come out prepared to go. We know we have a tough task at hand, our next game, which was Illinois. So he's a good coach. And, you know, Brad Underwood's a great coach as well. Tip your hat to you know, Nebraska, because he's building something. And Illinois, you're right there. I mean, you shouldn't have to worry about taking a back seat, because you could be Ohio State and Michigan right now. And in defense of those two programs, they've had the most guys drafted in the NBA, but they're at the bottom and they're struggling. Your program that you cheer for and root for has been at the top since Underwood's been there, at least the last 4 or 5 years. So don't apologize for an ugly win.
Yep. No, I agree. That's why you just basically say, you know, you're happy and you move forward. Now, certainly everybody loves if Illinois would win by 20 or 30, but there aren't very many years that stack up like what you see with the 89 team or the 2005 runner-up team. But I do think that this is a team that has tremendous potential. And I really look, there's still some things that they've got to get firing. You know, Terrence Shannon Jr. is playing fine, 18 points, but he's not quite to that effective level that he was before the suspension. Right. And so there's some improvement there. Right. You know, and Quincy Guerriere is starting to get his confidence back from whatever he went into a little lull there. Ty Rogers is playing well. Coleman Hawkins playing well. And, you know, tonight, Harmon and Goody didn't play particularly well. And that's the beauty of having so many contributors. If one or two has a rough night, you've got other guys who can pick up the slack. I thought Coleman Hawkins, we haven't said too much about him, but 20 points, seven rebounds, five assists, two turnovers, two steals. That he had another heck of a game. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be an NBA player and all that, but I'm just telling you that NBA teams are looking for guys in his height, 6'10", with his shoes on. They're looking for guys who can do a multitude of things, and that's what he can do.
Mike, he can shoot it. The way the NBA game is, the way it's played, I mean, this kid can literally bring the ball down the court and shoot. He's shooting the cover off the basketball. I mean, he made some timely threes tonight. So, I mean, whether you like his antics or not, Coleman is living up to all the hype that Brad Underwood has talked about for all these years that he's been there. He's solid. He plays good defense. And now when he shoots the basketball, I think he's going to go in every time. And 2 years ago, I would have never said that. So, you know what? You take it from, you know, when you got it, you enjoy it, because it could be different if he wasn't there. I mean, can you imagine if Kofi was around? I mean, they've adjusted without him. And if Coleman's not there next year, that's a big adjustment, because he's one of your better players. He's never going to get the press that a lot of guys get, because he's not scoring 20, 25 points a game. But I guarantee you, he's at the top of a lot of team scouting reports.
Yeah, that's for certain. And we've heard that from coaches after games, talk about how Hawkins caused all sorts of problems. Even Hoiberg tonight mentioned that, you know, because he pulls people out so far. You got a guy who's playing center and he's out 4 for 7 from the three. And he's also, you know, stealing the ball at 25 feet away from the basket. That's just things you don't typically see from centers. So the team looks good. I'd like to, you know, like I said, we've got there's quite a few more games, what, 9 more games left in the Big Ten. And everybody would like to see the Illini kind of get clicking a little bit more. And Underwood's good about timing these things up, but be good to see him ready to go about tournament time and raring at the bit, because there's a lot of teams right now that are in the same position as the Illini, sitting at, what, 17-5 and you know, looking to kind of hit their full stride. I was shocked how many teams there are across the country between 14 and 16 wins this year. There's no super team. So you gotta win these. And the bottom line is this is the game that they had to win at home, and they did. That's all you care about as a fan.
It could be like Maryland, Mike, and it could be an L, and you're exactly right. So think back to what that felt like that day when you lost to Maryland, because now you have to go out there and try to get that one back.
Yes, exactly. Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Ked. We appreciate you taking time out of your day. Travel safely. And of course, we will have Michigan State and Illinois on Saturday. And we will have a podcast talking a little bit about the Big Ten and SEC advisory board coming out Thursday night. So we've got somebody to do some analysis on some of the moving and shaking that's being done behind the scenes. That'll be fun. But Ked, and of course, we'll have the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular next Friday and Saturday. And you can hear all about some of the things going on from Mr. Prince. Thank you very much, Ked. And we will be right back after these messages.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly two-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in six states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@illiniguys.com and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@illiniguys.com and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
How is your car payment treating you? What if I told you you could make a free phone call right now and reduce your car payment by as much as $83 a month? Look at your car payment closely. You could be paying as high as 20% interest. Rate Genius can help you reduce your car payments by reducing your interest rate to as low as 2.48% APR. We can refinance most existing car loans or leased cars, new or used, and save you money every month. Put more money back in your pocket. The call is free to find out how low we can lower your car payment. 5 minutes of your time right now could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Call Rate Genius now.
800-425-1161. 800-425-1161. 800-425-1161. That's 800-425-1161.
Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on creditworthiness, value of the vehicle, loan term, and other factors.
And as promised, this is Mike Kegley back with Brad Sturdy. Brad, you and I were talking in the break. You know, we may be too old for our own good, but I will tell you, I don't really get too worried about not doing, you know, not getting a win with really nice style points. Because in my years as an Illini fan that goes all the way back to the late 70s, Illinois has not been consistently on the winning side of Big Ten close games for a long time, not since really the self era and then the first 3 years of the Weber era. And then you got to go back to the 80s Illini, you know, for part of the 80s. But we've seen so many of these games where Illinois would give up a 11 to nothing run and they wouldn't get the free throw and they would, you know, wouldn't go to overtime. They'd lose the game or they would go into overtime and collapse. Again, I'm not saying that Illinois, you know, maybe they should have won this by 10 points going away, but they beat a team that's beaten two top 10 teams this season on their home floor and who was itching to break through on the road. I guess I don't feel bad about winning, even though it was 3 points in overtime, because I'd rather have that W.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, it's funny how, you know, a lot of people – have allowed the last 3.5 minutes of that game to dictate their thought process. And I look at it like Illinois up 10. If you said Illinois is going to be up 10 with 3.5 minutes to go, I would take that every game. And you're going to win, 90%+ of the time when that happens? And all they had to do was make one basket in the final 3.5 minutes with multiple open shots, drives, whatever. And I'm not saying they were all great shots. Some of them were bad. They got to make one shot, and they win. And that's like a, you know, it's a, you would think they would, right? I thought they settled. I thought it was more they settled for threes there a little bit. You know, Terrence took a couple ISOs where he had driving lanes. He didn't want to shoot the three. I thought Marcus could have maybe gotten the paint and done some things. There were, I don't know. They took some bad shots, but I thought overall, you know, they won the game, and they – did it because they were up 10 with 3.5 minutes to go and you know, kind of held on, obviously, but then they took the lead, big lead in overtime too, and had to hold on. And So you just want to win. And I think it's so different. I mean, if they make one of those, I think it was Goody. Dane missed a free throw. Goody has a wide open three. Dane missed a dunk. They had they get the rebound. Shannon misses a couple of open threes. Damask had the ball right at the rim and it just sat on the rim and fell off. Any of those shots that go in, Hawkins had a shot at any of those shots go in and they win in regulation, probably pretty handily. And we're not talking about this. And, you know, it's funny how, and I guess this is, I thought Nebraska played completely out of their minds tonight with the shots they hit. I thought, you know, Tominaga hit some shots that are just stupid. I mean, you know, when you're getting a shoulder into a guy, jumping back 3 feet and throwing it up over a 6'6 guy with his arm extended, you just say, okay, that's a good shot. You know, that's a great shot. Kudos to you. And he hit those tonight. I mean, this is a guy who hadn't scored 20 points in a game since January 3rd. And he did it on 14 shots. And it wasn't like they were easy shots. Then the other thing, his last three games, he'd scored 7, 5, and 2. 7, 5, and 2 in the last three games. And yet he goes off tonight. And that's what good players can do, guys who are offensively talented. And yeah, you know, I thought the shots that Illinois gave up were actually, I thought they did a good job getting them to shoot the shots they wanted to get. Tough threes with contested threes. And then also on tough twos. And I thought they, you know, give Nebraska credit for making some of those really tough, difficult threes. And at the end, same time on the other end, only got a lot of wide open shots. Nebraska plays to allow you to shoot threes. If you shoot like, if you make open threes, you are going to beat them by 20. Most teams make open threes at home, which is why Nebraska struggles on the road. Illinois, for some reason, shoots 40%+ from three on the road and 30% at home. You tell me why, and we'll figure it out. Maybe we could, Brad, I don't know, might give us a lot of money if we can figure that out. But you know, that's just the reality right now. And so you take it and you run with it. You get a win. I mean, and Nebraska is an NCAA tournament team right now. They're a team they're not even on the bubble yet. You know, they got some game with Northwestern coming up that's really going to be a determining factor probably on what happens. Both those teams are just going to chuck threes and see who makes them. But, yeah, I think that, you know, people need to enjoy wins more. Illinois 17-5, 8-3. Yeah, did they play perfectly? Nope. But they're coming off a 12-point road win at Ohio State, and you're not going to be perfect every game. You want to win the games when you're not perfect, when you're not even good, and you win. That's a good thing.
Yeah, and look, they hit tough shots, and sometimes you almost wonder if Illinois is going to have to practice more in the assembly hall, which is a real pain in the butt. But maybe that's it. I don't know who that. I mean, I couldn't even hazard a guess beyond that what's going on. I think the interesting thing for me was the guys who couldn't hit the broadside of a barn today, Harmon and Goody, found other ways to contribute. Harmon going 4 for 4 on free throws, Goody getting 8 rebounds. So at least they were trying to find another way to contribute to the team, which I think is maybe why, you know, Coach Underwood likes the older players. And I also was very encouraged to see Dane Danger score 6 points in 9 minutes, because anytime you can spell Coleman Hawkins for a bit, you know, we know that his knees, you know, during the earlier part of the year were bothering him. So anything you can do to help him get a few minutes of rest and put some points on the board seems like a good thing to me.
Yeah, I agree. I thought Dane did a good job when he was in there. You know, he had, obviously people are going to remember the missed dunk and the missed free throw, but the reality was he was productive. He even defensively, I thought he was better. Now, I would say that Mass is probably a better guy for him to guard, and because he's not huge, you know, he's not got the maybe the athleticism of some of the, you know, the Reese or somebody like that.
Yep.
And you know, I thought he did well. I thought Dane was good. The one thing about Harmon and Goody is those guys are, you know, 0-for-10 from three, and virtually every one of those shots were completely wide open. I mean, I just totally clean agree.
Yeah, they didn't have many bad looks tonight from the three. Like, there are some nights that you're
I
like,
thought, I thought Terrence took a couple of threes where he settled just because he, you know, late in the shot clock, or it wasn't even late in the shot clock, really. He just go drive downhill and go to the rim. I thought he should could have done. And then I thought there were a couple of someone took a couple one pass threes. It was like, what, you know, weren't good. But other than that, you know, most of, you know, out of 30 some threes, they were mostly wide open looks. And you just say, okay, well, that's a good look. Let's keep shooting that and let's make it. But I thought, you know, Goody especially, you know, Harmon, I don't know why they have Harmon inbound the ball.
Yeah.
I don't know. It didn't make sense, especially when a guy makes free throws like he does. He's got some quickness to get open. I think it would make more sense to have him out there trying to get open. If Coleman's your best passer, you know, one of your best passers, have him inbound the ball. You want to get the ball Shannon or Damask. That makes sense to me. I don't know. But, you know, that was probably the one thing. But I thought both guys played hard. I thought Illinois' effort was clear because they just completely dominated the offensive glass and glass in general. Just didn't convert a lot of times. And so that's, you know, that's not an effort issue. That's just an execution issue. And, you know, again, you're going to have days when you miss shots. And if you miss shots and you win, then you're happy.
Right. Well, and that's the part, I guess, ultimately for me, that I look at as a, you know, you win and that's all that really counts. Cause when they'd look at W's down the way, you know, when they're looking for where they seed you, and the L's jump out off the,
the
page.
And people are like, well, they almost lost. They did. They almost won by 20 too. Yes. I mean, you could see it. You could see a path for them to win this game by 20 points. And so, you know, just as easily as they could have lost. I mean, you know, if Tominaga doesn't hit some of those crazy step back threes, and then you win going away, you know. So I don't know. I you know, is that a you know, so you look at it, just say, all right. But the thing is, you find a way to win, and that's really the key. I mean, you find a way to win games. At the end of the day, it all shakes out, and you know, you're 17-5, you're 8-3, and that's good. You would have taken that starts at the beginning of the season.
Yep, exactly.
Especially, exactly. And the other thing we keep forgetting is, like, this team has had so much turmoil and no breaks. I mean, yeah, we're like excited about getting 3 days off or 4 days off, 4 days between games. I mean, since the Shannon, you know, suspension, it's just been grind after grind after grind, game after game after game. And that's it's hard. And so you almost need a mental break where they can get a day off this week. They had one day off last week, one day off this week. And they just kind of need to mentally get more focused for the stretch run. And this will be a really good week for them. And, you know, second half of the Big Ten, you got 9 games left in the Big Ten Conference. And, you know, if you go like, you know, 6-3, 7-2, I mean, you got to be pretty happy with that. And so that's where I think they got to shoot for.
Yeah, and this is an important few days here because they don't play till Saturday now. So they are they going to get a few days off to kind of
they'll take Wednesday off. They'll have a couple days practice here, and then they'll take Wednesday completely off. And then Thursday and Friday they'll start game prepping, because it obviously is a Saturday morning, you know, 11 a.m. Central, noon Eastern time tip at Michigan State. So obviously it's a tough game, but you know, this is a team that has been pretty good on the road. So
yeah, and that's a tough one. When Michigan State, I don't care what anybody says, they will play hard, and you also have the impending threat of physicality when you play Michigan State. And then the other thing is, it doesn't get any, you know, it gets, you know, maybe a little easier when you play Michigan at home, but then you're back and you're going to two nemesis the week after with a game on the 17th at Maryland and then at Penn State on Wednesday, the 21st. So, I mean, this is a four game stretch that Michigan, maybe I feel like you can kind of write the W in, but the other three games, I mean, if Illinois doesn't play well, they aren't going to win.
Yeah, I mean, 3 of the next 4 on the road. I don't think Penn State's that good. I think they'll be fine there. You know, but I think Illinois's got, you know, when you got 3 of 4 on the road, that's tough stretch. And if you try and go 3-1, 2-2, 3-1, whatever, I think you're good with that. And you know, I think Illinois should go 3-1. And here's the reality. Brad Edwards never going to tell you this, but he, you know, he wants to go 4. He's never going to say that 3-1's good. But he's got to try and go 4-0. And, you know, every game's a different game. You know, they didn't have Shannon last time they played Maryland. Perhaps that'll help defensively because they really struggled on that end. You know, I don't think Penn State's, you know, it'll be a, you know, Illinois shot the ball better on the road than they have at home. And Michigan State's tough. They're a good team. Even though sometimes they don't, you know, play as well as they probably should or don't show that off. They're a good team, quality team. They can play well, especially at home. But Illinois really is, you know, they've struggled at Maryland. Obviously that's but I struggled with Maryland, but you know, you almost feel like they're going to win. If they can split those two games and win the other two that they really should win, that's 3-1 stretch. I'd run with that. 11-4 after 15 games heading down the home stretch.
Yep. Another thing that kind of really hit me during this game is Mr. Hoiberg is building something out there at Nebraska. And that's kind of a scary thing for me because those fans are incredibly loyal. Their NIL programs are very well funded and they've got a beautiful arena to play in. I don't know if I like a good coach being out in Nebraska.
Yeah, I think he's doing a good job. They're always going to be limited. I thought Tim Miles did a good job there too.
Yep.
They were competitive. But I think Hoiberg may give him a little higher ceiling because he is, you know, he's got a better name, bigger name. You know, but it's going to come down to, you know, can he, you know, get those, you know, marquee players or whatever. But with Tominaga and, you know, Wilcher's done well, you know, obviously, and, you know, Rinkmass from Bradley and Wilcher from who was Xavier before, those guys have really come in and been good for them. And, you know, I think his thing is going to be able to find that some, you know, impact guy out of high school or out of the portal. You know, they got masked, but they got to find an impact high school guy who can really come in and be their guy. And that's where he's got to recruit maybe a little bit higher level, but they're going to be competitive. This is good. Coaches make their team competitive.
Exactly.
They give him a chance and that's what he's doing. And, you know, and when Tominaga goes 31 points on 14 shots, they're going to have a chance to win about every game they play.
Yeah. Cause that people don't understand that, you know, when you can get to 31 with just 14 shot attempts, that is pretty, pretty amazing. And
that's insane.
Puts your team in a really nice place because even a lot of the nights you see Jordan or LeBron, you know, go for 45, they might do that in, you know, 30 shots or something like that. So if you can be that efficient, it's really good for your team. Any other thoughts that came to mind, Brad, when you're reflecting on the game?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing is, like, I thought Illinois' defense was better. They were more connected. They had a couple lapses where they got, you know, miscommunication, gave up a three to Mass one time, and they lost Tominaga on a, you know, handoff, which was, you know, obviously not ideal. But, you know, overall, I thought the defense was better. They forced Nebraska into tough shots, and they made some, you know, no question. But, you know, and I thought they executed really well on offense until the final 3.5 minutes. And then they got stagnant. I thought they stood. And I would like to see them run some more fake offense. I think sometimes, like, you're looking for, you know, I get what they're doing. You're shortening the game. You know, if you hold them to twos, they gave up a three in that stretch too. But if you hold them to twos, you got five possessions there. If you run 30 seconds on all five of your possessions, that basically is, you know, that's 2.5 minutes out of the 3.5 minutes is gone. Even if you take a shot late and then you get offensive rebounds and reset, which they did. So Nebraska to come back, Illinois had to miss on every possession and Nebraska had to score on every possession for that to happen. That's not very likely to happen, but I thought they got stagnant. I'd like to see them run some more fake offense just to get guys chasing guys and get them even if you're not going to attack the basket yet, to get guys moving and get switched, get a mismatch you want, so then you can attack. And, you know, that's something they didn't do a very good job of in the last 3.5 minutes. But, you know, that you learn and you grow from it.
Well, and Ked and I were talking about, like, when Illinois has problems, and I know it's subtle and maybe fans don't always look at it, but when there's one guy dribbling around, that's not a bad thing, as long as the other four guys are moving and looking for ways to get open.
But slashing, cutting, et cetera.
Exactly. But when one guy is dribbling and everybody else is like us as fans with a thing of popcorn watching him, wondering what he's going to do next, that's not good. And there were a couple, I was thinking of one possession with Domask where he had the ball the whole time and everybody kind of just watched, and there wasn't, he could have dumped off for an open three earlier, but then the rest of it, there was nothing for him to do either because nobody was open. And he really was struggling to break down the defense. You had posted early in the game about how Nebraska was open on the weak side, you know, down in the box. You want to kind of explain that for everybody, because it looked like the Illinois coaching staff read your tweet, because they went through quite a bit to get guys open on that weak side.
Yeah, so if you got a couple options when they're running those two guys, they had two guys in the paint. They rotate really hard to the ball side. They didn't want to let Damascus just back down guys and score and bully ball, booty ball, whatever you want to call it. So what happens is you're going to leave people open on the backside. So you've got one guy you're zoning behind. Nebraska will come, and it's not a hard double, but they're zoning behind that one-on-one situation to create that. So if you screen that backside and the guy fights over, then you've got those guys in the dunker spot that are wide open. We saw that at the beginning of the second half. Gary and Rogers got in the dunker spot, and they were able to score. But the other thing you have is you back screen and they don't get out, then you've got wide open threes on that weak side. But early in the game, I thought in the first half, Illinois made three passes to get to that weak side guy. And they started realizing it's a one or two pass thing, because three passes take long enough that they can close out a little bit. But one or two passes, they can't get there. And I thought that was where they made the effective adjustment. And I thought the offense was pretty good. It was really good. They scored on the first, scored 11 points on their first five possessions in the second half to kind of open it up. And, you know, they just couldn't sustain it. And they give Nebraska credit. They hit some tough shots. Every time Illinois had a run, Nebraska came back and handled it and made plays. By the way, let's talk. I don't know if you talked recruiting. Illinois had, three really, you know, highly touted, well, one kind of under the radar kid, who got an offer from Kankakee, Lincoln Williams. They offered him tonight after the game. So that was cool. It's kind of he's had a really good high school season. They had Jamarian Bateman, who's from Milwaukee, on campus, who is a sharpshooter. When he was down here this fall, he put on a show, in Upland and just lit it up. I mean, he made everything. And then they had a kid from South Bend, another 2026 kid, 6'6", who was on campus as well, has an Illinois offer as well. So this was a good group. They had a good group of recruits here to see Illinois get the win.
Good, because that's always nice to see, because striking the balance here, now that the COVID years are going to be done, there'll be less guys in the transfer portal, and they'll also be, you know, a little bit more trying to get balance between – you know, your high school recruiting and your transfers. It's going to be an interesting way to see. Every coach, I'm assuming, is going to have their own, you know, secret recipe on how they want to do it. It'll be fun to see how Underwood tries to balance that.
Yep, I agree.
Great. Any other things, Brad, before we let people get on to listening to this and
yeah, just win. It's all about winning, and you know, you're in February now. Just win the games in front of you, every game, and every game's a different war. Games don't carry over. Like, you win by 20, you don't get like a 20-point head start the next game. You just got to win, and then you win the next one, and that's where you got to just keep grinding. And it's a Big Ten. It's not easy, but I, you know, 8-3 start to the first half of the Big Ten. I think they could have been 9-2, 10-1 really easily. I mean, they had a chance at Northwestern, obviously, and they should have beat Maryland at home. That's a game you have to win. But, you know, overall, you're nine. If you're 8-3, that's a good start in the first half. And now you just take care of business and steal a couple road games and take care of business at home, and you're in a really good spot.
Yep. And that take care of business at home is always made more complicated when Zach Edey's coming to town, but that'll be a lot of fun because Illinois played a close one at Mackey, and I'm sure they're wanting to see that rematch every bit as much as we do as fans. Perfect, Brad. Well, thanks for taking a few moments out of your night to tell everybody about what we saw. And of course, you can catch more of Brad on IlliniGuys.com. He does a preview for every Illini basketball game, and then he does the Brad Sturdy Rewind, where he takes a look at the game's action the next day. So those things are available only to subscribers. You'll see the links on people's Twitter pages, et cetera, but you have to be a subscriber to be able to see the whole story. Go to IlliniGuys.com, $99 a year or $10.99 a month, and you can be a subscriber and get access to all that. Now stay tuned, folks, because in a minute, we will be back to wrap up the show.
Make sure you subscribe to the full family of Illini Guys podcast, starting with our signature Eye on the Illini series, which discusses recent Illini events. Sturdy for 30 is where veteran Illini insider and analyst Brad Sturdy talks with experts and people in the know. And Ked's Recruiting Roundup, where IlliniGuys.com director of recruiting Kedrick Prince talks with players, parents, and coaches about the next wave of Illini student athletes. Stay in the know with Illini Guys podcast. Find them wherever you download your podcasts.
A big thank you to both Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince for stopping by and taking some time after the game to talk to us about the Illini victory. We appreciate everybody who's come on and listened to this as well. If you don't subscribe, please do. Please also, any type of five-star reviews and any sharing on your social media would be a huge help to us. We do appreciate that, and it does make a difference because hearing it from a trusted friend is much better than an advertisement or something like that. You can do that. We'd appreciate it. And, of course, IlliniGuys.com. Go there. You get a free 7-day trial. Won't get billed till the 7th day. You can get a monthly subscription for $10.99 a month or do a whole year for just $99, the exact price that it was when we started it in January of 2021. No pandemic-related price increases for us. This is Mike Kegley saying, go Illini!
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.